Hi, this is Louisa Kolker. What is shamanism? My definition of shamanism is that it is the cross-cultural practice of offering one's body, psyche, and spirit as an energy bridge between the world of spirit and the world of human concerns. In other words, this is a way to connect with spiritual dimensions while being firmly grounded and rooted in your body, being conscious and aware. It's a way to travel to non-ordinary, non-physical dimensions in order to retrieve healing and guidance and to bring that back into this world to help you with your earth walk, to help you with your everyday life as a human being who is growing and evolving. The shamanic journey technique itself is an intentional spiritual practice of sending your dream body or your spirit body out to those spiritual, non-physical dimensions for retrieving healing and guidance. The journey is always taken in the company of a loving animal spirit who knows how to navigate non-physical reality. Journeying bypasses ego structures by entraining the brain to a theta brainwave state. Why journey? Well, the journey technique is a way of connecting us with our emotional bodies. We tend to pay so much attention to our minds and to our thoughts that in many ways we've become an emotionally illiterate society, an emotionally illiterate culture. So the journey technique is intended to help you bring awareness to your inner self, to your emotions, to your body, and to your process of learning and development as a human being. Journeying also increases our capacity to accommodate higher levels of intensity, higher levels of life force energy, and also of reality. It helps us to really connect with how our deep inner self is experiencing a moment, any given moment in time and space. You will have this tool in your spiritual and emotional toolbox to help you to connect with your own inner community, what I sometimes call your inner heart tribe or your inner community, so that you can begin to develop a sense of spiritual knowing, of spiritual presence within your own psyche, within your own self. The changing of patterns, especially deep embedded ancestral patterns, which all of us are carrying at this time in history, transformation of stuck or dysfunctional patterns really requires that we learn how to speak the language of our own souls. And as human beings, the language of our souls is the language of our emotions. So the journey technique is a way of accessing the depths of our responses, experiences, and the depth and depths of our relationships with our inner community, the different parts of ourselves. Your psyche knows that you are stepping into a ceremonial space. It's a workshop, yes, but it's also set up as a ceremony. And your psyche knows that what you're going to be learning and experiencing today is intended to bypass your ego structures. This is intended to introduce you to a technique that can open up the possibility of achieving ecstatic states of consciousness at will. We are really ecstasy deprived in this culture. We are biologically, neurologically equipped to experience tremendous joy, tremendous expansion. We're biologically, neurologically equipped and spiritually equipped to have a connection with spiritual dimensions that is huge. Not just a prayer here and there, not meditation here and there, but actually learning to increase our capacity to accommodate and be present with higher levels of intensity. We're equipped for that, and in the times that we're living in right now, that it's already being required of us, that we step up and evolve into what we are already equipped to do. I'm going to be teaching you the core shamanic journey technique today, And this name, the core shamanic journey technique, is one that the shamanic teacher and anthropologist Michael Harner came up with. The core shamanic journey technique is Michael Harner's term. Why does he call it the core shamanic journey? Because he investigated, researched shamanic cultures all over the planet. And what he did was he distilled all of the common features, everything that was common to the Aboriginal Australian shamanic traditions, to the Tibetan shamanic traditions, Native American, South American, Central American. What we'll be going over today are the components, and we'll be going over them one by one, that make up what is essential to achieving an altered state of consciousness. And this is an altered state of consciousness that we can attain without the use of plant medicine. That is one way to do it. My experience and my feeling about learning to access a theta brainwave state this way is that my neural pathways and my energetic infrastructures learn how to do it for themselves. It's right here. It's built into my biology. I specifically like to use the shamanic journey technique in service of bringing unconscious shadow material up to the surface of conscious awareness. So shadow material to me, and that's a Jungian term, shadow material is any part of myself, my inner self, that I have not accepted or that I have rejected and exiled into the unconscious regions of my psyche. And those shadow areas, the shadow material in me, is not necessarily, quote, negative at all. This is a practice that is intended to help us do what we have been taught not to do. This is a practice that is intended to teach us to know ourselves. And if I've lost connection with the wilderness and the naturalness inside myself, there is no way I can have any empathy or any sense of conscience when I start trashing the natural world around me. Part of me sees, you know, the cycle of civilization, cycles that we've gone through, as being really necessary for our evolution as human beings. And most of us agree that we've done this great big experiment in going way over to the side of the rational mind and of seeing how far we can go with getting away from our bodies, getting away from the natural world. That's been part of our spiritual assignment, as far as I'm concerned. But now the pendulum needs to swing in another direction. And my sense is that there is not a collective solution to this, that there's only an individual one. And that is that each one of us, by taking personal responsibility for our connection with spirit, that each one of us, having that connection, taking responsibility for our inner wilderness, our inner naturalness, that is how the balance starts coming back. The shamanic journey technique helps us to slow down the electrical activity in our brains. And all of you have experienced this in one way or another. One of the most common experiences of this that I know of, and that I think most people can relate to, is like going on a long road trip, you know, where the sound of the wheels or the feeling of the wheels on the pavement gets into a kind of rhythm, and all of a sudden perception expands. The shamanic journey technique is particularly useful, I even want to say critical, at this time, because as the intensity level increases, both in our external world and therefore in our internal worlds, the capacity to expand our perception of what is going on is going to be more and more important. My take on the amplification of intensity in this country and maybe in consciousness all around the planet is that it is an amazing opportunity to expand our self-concepts and an amazing opportunity to get back to a connection with what is natural and wild inside ourselves. More and more, the value and the safety that we have invested in external structures, financial, government, educational structures, even family structures, those are becoming divested of a lot of their meaning and power, and it's unsettling on the one hand, and on the other hand, what better motivation to go inward? Is it getting a little, I'm feeling a little warm, but it could be a hot flash. Is anyone else? I have my menopause fan. Hold on. It could just be me. It's just me.
I'm cold.
All right. We're holding the polarities. So my particular take on the shamanic journey technique is that it helps me in a powerful way to go deeper than what I think, deeper than what I believe, deeper than what my attachments to reality looking a certain way have been. And especially in later on in Transformation 3, we talk a lot, and we're actually working a lot in Transformation 3, with increasing our capacity in our internal infrastructures to take in and assimilate more and more life force energy. And in Transformation 3, we call that energy sexual soul force energy, because they are interwoven. Sexual energy and life force energy are basically one and the same. But that's Transformation 3. In Transformation 3, we decontaminate a lot of our projections and woundings around even the word sexual. So that's to give you just an idea of, in general, what the shamanic journey technique is able to do and has always done in the 40,000 plus years that this has been around. It's not an it, it's actually an I, because I am a vehicle for ecstatic, life-giving forces, just like anything else that is living and breathing on this planet. The basic technique is here. The intention is what makes this experience different from dreaming, for example, or from doing a creative visualization. Or if any of you have ever experimented with Carl Jung's active imagination, which is a very healing technique, this is different in a number of ways. One is, we're going to write down an intention for what our journeys are going to be about today. A shamanic journey, I want to give you a basic definition, is the intentional sending of my consciousness in the company of a helping spirit to spiritual realms or spiritual dimensions. It is the intentional sending of my consciousness, and sometimes I call it my spirit body, to other dimensions of consciousness in the company of a helping spirit. And when you write, if you're writing that down, underline it 5 times. In the journey experience, we're doing something that is very unusual for most of us in our everyday lives, which is we're letting someone else drive. We're letting our helping spirit drive. And we are practicing and experiencing being vulnerable, open, and receptive to a new experience. We're letting go of control in a way that is structured, stating an intention, and that is protected by the fact that we're going to be in the company of a helping spirit. And in this case, we're going to be meeting a power animal today. Power animals, traditionally in indigenous cultures, are animal spirits that have volunteered to be a protector, a guardian, a guide for us as soon as we're born. Whether we know about them or not is kind of immaterial. They're there. So in the journey process, and this is something I'd like everyone to agree about, to the extent that you know what's going on at this point, but I'd like you all to agree and commit to doing these journeys with a helping spirit, with a being who is of pure love and whose desire is to be helpful and to be a protector and to be really a friend to you in this process. Can everyone raise their hand if you agree to that? Because otherwise what happens is we are functioning on self-will. And I don't know about all of you, but my self-will and my pride and my thinking that I know how to do things has not worked out so well for me a lot of the time. All the time. So the intention, you know what? I'm going to have you all write the intention for the journeys today. Now, for those of you who already have a power animal, we have an alternate journey intention for you today. We weren't going to let you just, like, slack or, you know,
rest.
Chill out and take a nap. And I'm giving you the wording that I use when I create a journey intention. As you get more familiar with this, I encourage you to change the language so that it really feels like it's yours. It's how you would talk to your helping spirits. For those of you who are finding a power animal for the first time, this is your journey intention. Dear ones, sacred ones, I request a journey to the lower world to meet my power animal and to learn of his/her gifts for me. Blessed be. And then for those of you who have already done this journey and found a power animal, your intention is going to be, dear ones, sacred ones, I request a journey with my power animal to prepare me for inner work. So just take your time to write those out. And then once you've written this out, I suggest that you put your pen down and you put the palms of your hands on what you've written so that the vibration of the intention, not just the words, but the vibration of the intention moves up through the palms of your hands, up into your heart space, and it moves down through your body, down through your legs and feet into the earth, and up from your heart space, up to the crown of your head, and up to what I call your holy guardian angel or your higher self, so that your psyche and your energetic infrastructures are informed of your intention. Yeah, question.
Okay, I was reading last night a little bit about journey. And they talked about just having an animal like this.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, I wonder if it's one of three different animals. And then this morning, I have a friend at Real Food Nation, the drive-thru, this huge red-tailed hawk came. So would that suppose?
All right, so that's a really good question. She said that this morning you've been reading about journeying and power animals, and that three occurred to you, and then this morning you were at Real Food Nation.
And this huge hawk, and it didn't just sort of fly by and meet it.
Yeah.
My friend, I was like, oh my gosh, and she goes, oh my gosh, and it just was totally spread out.
Okay, so she saw this hawk, and I'm really glad you asked that. Because that has nothing to do with what we're about to do.
Okay.
I mean, we have feelings of kindredness with animals and heart connection. And many of us have pets who have been incredible heart teachers and allies for us. This is different because we are surrendering what we think we know. And there's a lot of surrendering of will and so forth here. It may turn out that that's your power animal.
Right.
But I would never assume that because I'd had a visitation, some kind of powerful visitation with an animal, that was my power animal.
No, I got it.
Yeah?
It's inside.
It's inside, and it's also from non-ordinary reality. And of course, there's bleed through between dimensions all the time. Mm-hmm. However, one of the kind of signature qualities of the shamanic journey technique is that there's often an element of surprise. And there's often an element of, oh, that is not what I had in mind at all. And in that sense, your theta brainwave state is working for you in terms of blowing your mind about thinking that you have any kind of grip on reality. I mean, or, you know, some kind of control here. And what a relief. I mean, for me, it has been such a relief to experience that, because one of my adaptations has been to, like, figure things out, figure it out before it even happens, figure it out 20 years before it's going to happen, figure it out for other people 20 years before it's going to happen to them. I know you can't relate. I know this is only me. This is such sweetness for me when I journey. Yeah. Thank you very much for that question. All right, so everyone has their intention. Okay. Second of all, what we do to ignite and to bring us into connection with the power of the journey is we're going to call in power. Calling in power is drumming, rattling, singing. Sometimes it's movement. It's anything. It could be a meditation, too. It's anything that starts softening those defined boundaries, definitions, outlines that we think we have to color inside of. Singing is another really good one for this. So today we're going to be drumming and rattling and singing if your voice wants to come out. We're going to do that as a way of asking for spiritual energy to fill our bodies, to fill and charge up our inner batteries. And at the same time, I've come to call this the love loop, because we're opening ourselves to receiving spiritual energy, and also when we're drumming and rattling and singing, that is our love letter, our love song to spirit. And just saying, hey, this is for you. This is for you. I love you so much. I don't know how to talk to you yet, maybe so well, and I don't know what you look like. I kind of wish, you know, some people claim to know what you look like, but I sense that you're there. Mm-hmm. And then there's this circle, this loop that happens. So it's a beautiful part of this practice. Especially when you're beginning it. At this point, like for me, because I do this every day, when I'm with clients, I may, and some of you have worked with me one-on-one, I may drum and rattle and sing, but sometimes I don't. That's also because at this point, I've been journeying so much that I know how to activate that theta brainwave state in a way that many of you, if you're very practiced at something, you know how to access it as well. The calling in power, when we do that, we will not be journeying at that point. I hope I can remind you all of that when it's time for us to call in power, even though there's going to be drumming and you're going to feel yourself starting to get into an altered state. And by that, I just mean you're going to feel some expansion in yourself. But it's not the journey itself. It's drinking in spiritual energy, charging up your battery in preparation for the journey. When it's time to journey, you're going to create what I call your journey pods. You can put down a yoga mat. There's a bunch of them in that closet. Blankets. Get comfortable. Have your journal next to you with your intention. And your pen. Maybe an eye cover. And I'm going to whistle. I have a little ocarina that I whistle, and then I'll rattle. That's a further offering to our helping spirits. And then I'm going to start drumming. And I'll drum for anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes in a consistent, repetitive pattern. And while I'm doing that, you're going to be going through all the steps of this journey technique. And you know, the drum is really going to help. It's going to help you to get out of your mind. Your body is going to remember. There's a kind of ancestral, instinctual remembering that you have this in you to travel between dimensions in this way. So you're going to listen to the sonic driver, which in this case, usually when I facilitate these circles, it's a drum, but it could be a rattle. You're then going to go to your departure point in nature. Your departure point in nature is an actual place in the natural world, preferably that you have been to, that you can remember. Sometimes people can imagine. They just have a feeling. There was someone in a circle one time who said, I was in the Redwood Forest in Northern California, and I don't remember the specific tree, but I have a feeling that my departure point is this one redwood, and I have a feeling of where it is. That's fine, too. And then I love telling the story, and some of you have heard me say this many times, but there's a woman in one of my circles, but this person was from New York, and she'd always lived in Manhattan, and so she hadn't really been out in nature very much. So her departure point was the changing room at... it was either Bloomingdale's or Lohmann's. And she said she just felt really, like, safe there. It was like a little... this little island of comfort, you know, in the middle of the big city. And so that was her departure point. And that's okay with me, as long as you feel a quality of sort of magic there and that you're safe and happy there. I've had some happy moments in those changing rooms. So... and in a little bit, we're going to do a little guided visualization for you to find your departure point. When you go to your departure point, now this is written assuming that you already have your power animal, so just hang in there. You're going to send your spirit body. It's kind of like when you dream, you know how you're in your own dream, but you also know that you're also lying there in your bed, or your lazy boy, or whatever it is you're dreaming of. You're going to send with your imagination. Your imagination. Yes, imagination is an important part of this. You're going to send with your imagination, your dream body or your spirit body, to your departure point. You're going to, with your imagination or just with your perception, meet up with your power animal. And I'm going to give you all a temporary power animal if you don't have one already. And then you're going to make your descent. In this case, we're going to the lower world today. There are other shamanic worlds. And you're going to make your descent from your departure point area down into the earth. And when we do this visualization about your departure point, you're going to actually also find your way into the earth, because it might be a hole in the ground, like the, you know, a hole that goes into an animal burrow. It could be following the roots of a tree down into the earth. It could be, for some people, it's a body of water, and they dive into the water or step into the water. And in shamanic reality, you can breathe underwater, so, which is a really, that's a great journey unto itself. Lower world is the magical dimension of the physical earth beneath us. So it's not all slimy with slugs and ants and whatever, creepy crawlers. Because it's the magical dimensions, like the etheric blueprint of the energy of the earth. And again, you will jumpstart your journey with your imagination in the same way that you got here. Because before you got here this morning, you kind of imagined it first, right? Okay, where is that? Okay, rodeo. You have to kind of send yourself here already before your physical body got here. So it's the same with journeying. You're sending yourself to these places first with your imagination, and then you're relaxing. Then you're letting your power animal drive. Lower world, magical dimension of the physical earth beneath us. Middle world is the magical dimension of this world that we're all sitting in right now. Middle world journeys are good for checking out a new house that you want to move into. Even before you go and look at it, or you've gone and looked at it, but you want to check out the energy of it. Middle world is good for people who do healing work to go and visit someone who needs energy work or who has some other things of that nature going on. We are not going to do middle world journeys today, and probably not tomorrow. We'll see where things are on Sunday, because the middle world is also where discarnate spirits hang out. Discarnate spirits are the spirits of people who have crossed over and have not moved on to the light. And often they're confused, and often they will want to hitch a ride with your energy body. So you don't want to do that. If that did happen, I would help you sort it all out. But remember, intention is all powerful. So we're just not going to go there. But I want you to know what it is. Upper world is the magical dimension of the cosmos outside of this solar system. So when I'm journeying to the upper world, I'm actually going up to where my energy body, my spirit body perceives that this world ends, this solar system ends, and there's a kind of a breaking through, popping through a kind of a membrane. And then it's kind of like in Star Trek when they achieve warp speed. That's how I perceive it. And a lot of these, by the way, these science fiction films are pretty true to shamanic reality. Like Avatar, nailed it. That is absolutely what I see when I journey. And I've heard other people who do journey work say the same thing. Okay? And for going to the upper world, traditionally shamans have climbed up or ascended a rainbow. They've been taken up by a flock of birds, such as in The Little Prince, when he gets pulled up by those birds. You can follow kind of a ray of light, you know, a shaft of light that might come into a room. Does anyone remember how Mary Poppins climbed up? What did she do? Well, she flew up with her umbrella, but she also climbed, remember she climbed up the smoke staircase? Mm-hmm. That is really traditional, I think it's in Siberian shamanism, to climb up a smoke staircase. Mm-hmm. Mary Poppins, this is my home girl. Okay, lower, middle, upper world, got it? And then I have also added inner world. Why? Well, because more and more, especially over the past 5 or 6 years, when I do journeys, I find myself journeying into like a portal point somewhere in my own body. That's what I know to call it, because it's maybe technically it's middle world because my body is here in the middle world, and it has a different feeling to me. And it is actually, for my own personal journey for myself, that has become my world of choice. Journeying for others, not so much, okay? All right, I'm just doing an eyeball scan just to see if there are any alien intruders. Thank you. Okay, good, good. All right, are you breathing? Okay. The drumming will end, and there'll be the rhythm will change. There'll be a series, and you don't have to remember this because you'll get it. You'll totally get it. The drumming changes. There'll be a series of 4 times 7 beats, which indicates it's time to make your way back to this world. And then, so after the 4 times 7 beats, there'll be a fast drum roll. And during that time, during that drum roll, I want you to retrace your footsteps, as it were. Come back the way you came, and then clunk, land right back into your physical outline. Like you can wiggle your toes, and if you know how to wiggle your ears, you can wiggle your ears. I'm just kidding about ears. Wiggle your hands and your fingertips. Because the whole point of journeying is to bring all of this hugeness and expandedness and ground it back into this body. So this is how it's different from other spiritual practices, right? Where you go up and out and astral traveling and, hey, I want to get the hell out of this place, this body, this earth. And you know what? No. This practice is about landing. And for some of us, it's the first time we've actually ever really landed and anchored ourselves into this body and into this feeling self that has unlimited potential for joy. Then I want you to journal about what you've experienced. Please don't interpret, just the facts. On your own, you can make a tobacco or cornmeal offering, make it to a tree spirit, or you can put it on your altar. I will be doing that for all of you throughout this weekend, unless you want to, and I will have, there's tobacco in this pouch, and this is from Native American medicine ways, that you make prayers with tobacco. I also have with me, just to let you know, I also have cornmeal. And cornmeal is when if there's something you want to give away. And a giveaway in Native American medicine ways means that you are either releasing something because it no longer serves you. The idea is that something that no longer serves me actually has some way it can serve somewhere in the universe. So I am releasing it, even if it's pain, even if it's fear. I can give that away. Okay, so I have cornmeal if you want to give something away. Also, a giveaway is when I have so much joy and I feel I have so much abundance that I want to share it. I don't want to keep it all to myself. So I go like, hey, Great Spirit, send this out to all my brothers and sisters so they can all taste how good this feels to feel this much love and this much joy. Like that. And you can throw it around here. We'll just mess this carpet up this way. All right. So for those of you who haven't journeyed before, I have it's not an animal, it's an insect. And I've been teased about this because there is a little rule, which is when you are journeying for the first time for your power animal, please don't accept insects as your power animals, because sometimes funky energy beings take the form of insects. Not always, but since this is your first time with this, just, you know, say thanks but no thanks. However, having said that, the spirit being who has volunteered to be the temporary power animal for these workshops is a black butterfly. This is a few years ago. The black butterfly came to me and said, please let people in these groups know that they can use me as their initial guide into the lower world. And this butterfly, it's black, but it has gold all around the periphery of its wings. Would everyone here who's doing this journey for the first time feel comfortable letting Black Butterfly be your guide for this initial journey?
Yes.
I think you'll like him, her, it. Yeah. Okay, good. So, for your initial journey, you have your intention, and if you want, when you're lying down in your journey pod, you can read it again, put your hands on it again. I will be reading it out loud once you're lying down, once your eyes are closed. I'm going to read it out loud to you again. You will send with your imagination your spirit body or your dream body to your departure point in nature. You will then either see, feel, or imagine Black Butterfly being there. You will then start making your descent, when you hear the drum, into the lower world. And the way I experience the lower world is there's kind of a tunneling, and it's really kind of fun. Sometimes I kind of like slide down. It's like being on the slippery slide at, you know, water park. And sometimes I'll fly through. I'll just be like, it'll be like I'm teleporting through, going down and down into the earth until I reach an area where there's an opening. And that's the opening into the lower world. And that opening, there's often light there, because the lower world is a lot like the natural world in this dimension. You'll go out there with Black Butterfly, ask Black Butterfly questions like, well, what should I do now? Should I sit? Should I be quiet? What do we do? And you will get a psychic impression. If you don't actually hear a voice, not many people actually hear a voice, but you'll get a psychic feeling. You'll just get a feeling of what is being communicated to you. What you're looking for in the lower world is an indication three times from an animal. There are going to be three attempts to get your attention from an animal, and that's sort of the magic number in doing this kind of a journey. A number of times what I have found, like when I'm journeying for other people and other people who've journeyed, done this initial journey, is that there are a lot of animal spirits in the lower world, and they're going to be very pleased that you've come to visit them. And so you may have them kind of walk by, and they may kind of come up to you and like check you out. But you will most likely find there'll be one animal who will come by and either sort of brush by you one time or maybe fly by you. But it'll be three times. Okay? Three. And if you hear the drum beat happening and, you know, you've had a bunch of animals around, just send a call out from your heart in the lower world. I want to know you. Power animal, I'm calling to you from my heart. The drumming is telling me it's time to go back. I'd really like to meet you before I go. See what happens. If apparently, underlined, highlighted, circled, if apparently nothing has happened in the journey, please don't worry about that. I'll help you with that, okay? Good chance you're going to have something happen, all right? Have I left anything out?
besides mythological creatures, sometimes people have a question about them.
Mythological creatures. Sometimes mythological creatures show up. Not that often, but that's okay too. And you can also, if an animal is around you and you're not sure, you haven't been counting, one, two, three, you can say, are you my power animal? And you can ask them a few times. Be open to what happens. As I've shared with some of you, the first time I did this, I really had some very grand ideas of who my power animal should be. I should have really sexy, powerful, like Native American power animals. And one of my first animals that I got was a blue merlin. And I was actually went underwater, and he kind of bumped up against me, and I was just like, ugh. And then he came by again. I was like, oh, no. And then the third time, I mean, I was in such willfulness and resistance, he actually came up and nipped me, and I was like, oh. And I started doing my Louisa things like, oh, you. And then I went like, oh, that was three. And you know what? That power animal is so dear to me. And that's what I mean by surprises happening in journey space, that it help us to learn that our thoughts are not all that important and really not that connected with what's real. So, okay. How about some questions? Yeah.
Those of us who have a power animal, we don't say to the lower world. We just go where we're taken.
Right. So those of you who have a power animal, if you want to go to the lower world, you can. But, you know, by the time you've journeyed enough now, let your animal choose. I mean, have you traveled to the middle world already?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never see anything. I don't know.
You know what?
But I get a sense.
You get a sense. And that's the thing. Some people don't see and they don't hear, but they experience coming out of the journey that something energetic has happened, that there's been a shift. Our minds get pretty attached to having images and to having things go a certain way. The point of journeying is not to have a Technicolor movie happen. It is to have something very deep and essential about who you perceive yourself as being, having that shift. And you will be aware of that. Even sometimes people say, well, I didn't see anything. I'll go, how are you feeling? What's happening in your body right now? And I don't think I've ever had anyone say, oh, nothing. They'll say, well, I can feel that something has happened. I don't know what it is. So see if you can suspend judgment. Don't judge the situation.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So granted that we're supposed to suspend judgment.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do. Is it possible for the ego to sabotage the journey? Is that something we should be worried about at all? Or basically, once the intention set, is everything golden? We don't have to think about that.
Yeah, good question. So is it possible for the ego to sabotage the journey or interfere with it? And yes, on one level. And that's on the level of your thinking mind. Your thinking mind cannot impact what is happening energetically. And one of the reasons that I've always felt that to be true, but then I read a few years ago a study about the Maharishi University did a study on meditators and hooked them up to EEGs and EKGs and galvanic skin response machines. And the people who had gone deepest in meditation were the ones who thought they had not even meditated. But all of their vital signs indicated that they had biologically, neurologically gone very deep. It's likely that some of you, maybe all of you, will ask yourself, am I making this up? And here's what I recommend, is you say, yes, I'm making this up, and just continue on. Just don't get hung up on that. Yeah, our imaginations jumpstart this, and our minds come in and can embellish things, and ultimately, with any kind of energy experience, whether it's in an altered state, in a journey state, or if I'm sitting here and I've ordered a strawberry milkshake and it doesn't taste the way I think a strawberry milkshake should taste, all of this is being filtered through my ego structures. any visions, visuals that you have are going to somehow be informed by what your psyche, the big wardrobe room of costumes and images and so forth. Now, you may be surprised at what's in there. You may have never seen some of the costumes and props that are in your own inner wardrobe. To the extent that you like attach to what your mind is telling you about a journey experience, it'll interfere. And if you can just go, well, that's just one layer. But here's a suggestion. If you find yourself getting really up in your head with journeying, let your jaw release, open your mouth. This is why you're journeying, until you feel a release in the joints of the jaw. And then I want you to let your mouth stay in what I call drool position. Really? Because the more we contract and think and try to have control, the more the jaw gets tight. So let your jaw be in drool position. Yes, Chelsea, drool position. I did say that. Just don't let me know that you slobbered on my blankets. Anyway, mouth in drool position, and imagine that you're being able to see from your heart space or your womb space, your lower belly, rather than trying to see through here. Let's all try that for a moment. All right, close your eyes so we don't see each other in this really undignified position here. Okay. Mouth in drool position. And imagine that you're seeing through your heart right now. Your eyes, your physical eyes are closed, but imagine that your heart is actually perceiving this circle. And then gently open your eyes. Any other questions? I'm so glad you have mentioned this. So I want everyone to do this because everyone has a place in them, even if you've journeyed before, that is afraid you're not going to have the right experience, that is afraid you're not doing it right. I want everyone right now to notice where it is in your body that you just resonated with what Jill said. And I want you to either put your hands there or to actually put your arms around yourself and say to him, if you're a guy, say to him or her, I'm with you, sweetheart. I'm with you. I love you. And there's no way you can do this wrong. Have fun. And I'm right here with you. We're going to do a short visualization. This is not a journey. This is using your imagination. Remember I said that imagination jump starts. It kind of activates the journey process. And this is going to be for you to connect with your departure point in nature and to just get a sense of that, how that then gives you entry into the lower world. So you can get relaxed. So we'll start with the eyes closed, letting your breath drop down into your lower belly. So that you're dropping into your feeling body and out of your thinking mind. Feeling your belly expand with the inhale. Belly gently contracting with the exhale. Just letting your breath relax you, letting your mind slow down, and letting yourself feel pleasantly weighted towards the earth. And from the area around your navel, I want you to send your imagination out into the world to find your departure point in nature. Preferably someplace that you have been, someplace that you know. And see yourself at that place. You might want to sit there for a moment, just get a feeling for what's around you. You might want to look around. You can take some moments to explore until you find the area that feels welcoming, feels safe, and where the veils between the worlds are thin. Either find or imagine some kind of an entry into the earth. Could be an opening into the earth or tree roots. And let your imagination go into that opening in the earth. And find that tunnel and let yourself move through it. Going down into the depths of the earth until you see a light at the end of this tunnel. I don't want you to go out into that light at this time. Just notice where it is. And now turn around and let yourself come back up through the tunnel the way that you came. Surfacing once again, back at your departure point. And you might let your hands gently touch the earth there, or if it's water, let your hands touch the water and say, thank you. Thank you. And now, gently bring your consciousness back to this moment in time and space, bringing your imagination back into your body, bringing your consciousness back into your body so that you are grounded and completely present in the here and the now.